This chazar is a chenosh b'chachetz chashadag v'mechudam v'sechles gittin daf mem beis. Rabbi said, the machlevet in the Rebbe and the Rabbanon, whether a person can free half a slave, is only when he frees half a slave and leaves the other half in his possession. However, if he freed half a slave and sold the other half, or gave the other half as a gift, since the entire slave is leaving his possession, everyone would agree that the slave is kind of half of himself. Abaye asks, there's one price that says, if a person gives all his possessions to two of his slaves, they're each kind of half of their possessions, and they free each other. There's a second price that says, if a person says, all my possessions should go to my two slaves, they're not even kind of themselves. Presumably, we would say that the first price follows Rebbe, and the second price follows Rabbanon. We see that they argue even when the owner totally divests himself of the slave. Mari said, no, we can say that both prices follow the Rabbanon. The first price is discussing where he told each slave, all my possessions are given to you, whereas in the second price, he said to each of them, half of my possessions should be given to you, and we assume he meant to give the same half to both of them. Because he's retaining half, they're not coining themselves. But the end of the price explicitly says that if the person says to each of the slaves, half my possessions are given to you, they're not koina. Obviously, the earlier part is not talking about that case. And for the Gemara, the end of the price is explaining that this is the case of the earlier part of the price. This must be the understanding, because if the early part of the Brisa discusses where he gave each of them all his possessions, there would be no reason to state the case of where he only gave half his possessions. Gemara says, nah, that's not a proof as to the intent of the Brisa, because it may be that the Brisa has to say the case of half his possessions just so that it becomes clear that the earlier part of the Brisa is discussing where he gives all his possessions. Another Teres Gemara, we consider the second Brisa is discussing where it was given in one document to both slaves, and such a document can't work to free them just as one document can't work to divorce two women. The first price is discussing what was given to him in two separate documents. However, both prices can hold. If freeing half a slave is effective if the owner is divesting himself of the entire slave. If the second price is discussing what was given in one document, why does it give the case of where he gave half his possessions to each slave? Yeah, even if he gave all his possessions to both slaves, it would be ineffective because it was given in one document. And for the Gemara, the Brisa is saying that when it's in one document, even if he gives all his possessions to each of them, they'll not be koina. The Brisa then adds that even if it was given in two documents, if he only gave half to each, they would still not be koina. Another Teres Gemara says we can say that both prices discussed where two documents were given. But in the first price they were given simultaneously and therefore it's effective. And the second price they were given one after the other. Fekhmer, if they were given one after the other, why isn't the first one Kaina everything, including himself and the other slave as well? Gemara says we must use an Echanami, one of the earlier answers. Rashi gave another Teres. He says the second price, in the second price he referred to them as my servants. This tells us that he did not mean to free them. Rav from Es, maybe means to say that they used to be his slaves and therefore no Raya. Morris says, what happens if an ox gores a half-freed slave? Morris says like this, if it happened on the day that he's working for his master, then the payment of the damages goes to the master. If it happened on the day that he works for himself, the payment of the damages goes to himself. In fact, based on this, on the day he works for his master, he should be allowed to marry a maidservant. On the day he works for himself, he should be allowed to marry a Jew. And for the more, his monetary status can change daily, but his Isser status can't change daily like that. In fact, Bryce says, if an ox killed a half-freed slave, half the penalty, meaning paid by the one whose ox kills a slave, goes to the master, and the other half goes to the slave's Yarshim. Now, according to the halacha stated above, the penalty should be paid to whoever he was working for on the day that he was killed. Mar said this price is different because the principal value of the slave is permanently lost. That's why he gets divided. So, for that, what would be the case in which the halacha was stated? It would be where the ox injured the slave in a way that he will eventually be restored to full health. Now, that only works according to Abayu, who says that the owner of the ox would have to pay for the temporary loss in the slave's value. However, according to Rava, he would not have to pay for that. So, what would the case be according to him? Mar says, either we can say the case would be where the slave was injured by a person, not an ox, and a person who injures must also pay for the temporary loss in value. Or we can say that the halacha stated above is not from a Mishnah or a Braisa, and Rav may therefore argue on the halacha. If a slave is freed but still needs to receive his get shichur, and an ox then killed him, would he still consider to be a slave, in which case the penalty must be paid or not? The Pasuk says the penalty has to be paid to the master. Is the former owner still the master at this point in time or not? So Marissa, the Brisa quoted earlier said that if an ox killed a half-freed slave, half the penalty paid by the one whose ox killed a slave goes to the master, and the other half goes to the slave's yarshim. Presumably this is following Beis Hillel after he retracted his shita and agreed with Beis Shammai. Therefore, the slave in the Brisa stands to be fully freed and awaits his get shichur, and yet we see that the penalty is still assessed. Mar said, no, maybe the Brisa is following Beis Hillel before he retracted his ruling, in which case the slave is to remain a half slave and is therefore not a freed slave awaiting his get shichur. Maybe we can bring a proof from a Brisa. The Brisa says, if a master knocks out the tooth of a slave and then blinds the slave's eye, the slave goes out free based on the tooth, and he presumably now waits to get his get shichur, and then he gets paid for the blinding of his eye. Now, if it's true that the penalty for his death would go to the master if the slave is waiting to get a shikhar, then surely his master wouldn't have to pay him for an injury that the master himself afflicts as he is waiting to get a shikhar. And for the Gemara, the Braisa is no proof, because it may be following the view, which is a machlekes in the Braisa, that the slave does not even need to get shikhar to be freed if the master knocks out his tooth, and therefore he's not someone who's awaiting a get shikhar. If a slave of a kohen is freed but still needs to get shikhar, does he still eat truma? Is a slave considered to be king and kaspe of the kohen at this point or not? Or Mishashi quoted in Mishnah that if the child of a kohen and the kohen slave become confused at birth, these two children may eat truma, since each one is either a kohen or the slave of a kohen, and when they grow up, they free each other, and then they both, whichever one, now no matter what, they're free people. Now in the Mishnah, the slave, whichever one he is awaiting his get shikhar, and yet we see he can still eat truma. The Gemara says this is not a proof. In this case, if Eliyahu would come and tell us which child the Kohen is and which child is the slave would clearly be a Kenyan Kasbah at this point. With regard to the slave that's waiting to get Shikhar because his monetary ownership has already been removed, it may be that he's no longer called Kenyan Kasbah and may therefore Menayi Truma. It's a different case, and therefore we can't bring a Raya from over there.